morning. It's good to see you here this morning as we gather for worship. It's almost the fullest I think I've seen the parlor since we've been in here. So it's good to have you here and during the middle of July. Some folks have been away and returned, and others I know are planning to be away. So I'm glad that you took time to be with us this morning. Special welcome to David Williams, who will be providing special music for us during our service today. Talking to Marilyn earlier, and that we, it's been scheduled. We have volunteers all summer to be providing special music, so we appreciate those who have agreed to do that. Want to invite everyone to stay for a few moments after the service and for some time of refreshment and fellowship. We'll be having that in the kitchen right beside the parlor. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I've got a few additions to that. On Tuesday at 2 o'clock, we will be providing a worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center, and that just didn't make it onto the printed calendar, but that is this week. Also do want to highlight that we are planning to have a summer potluck lunch after the service on the 31st, and inviting you to bring sandwiches, salads, or desserts to share together. Also, you'll note the backpack drive, and there is an insert in the bulletin suggesting items. The deacons have purchased backpacks, and we are being encouraged to provide some supplies to go in those backpacks. A couple other announcements I wanted to share with you. Another event that is coming up this week that was scheduled after the bulletin went to print is a Malden, Massachusetts prayer vigil. The theme is a community diversified, unified, and dedicated to defeat the affliction of divisiveness. And this is in response to what's been going on in our nation over the last few weeks. And this is being sponsored by the Malden Interfaith Community, of which we are part of. And it's going to be held this Wednesday evening at the Malden High School courtyard from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening, which is right across the street from the church. We have parking here. Good, very good. But the rain location is Jenkins Auditorium inside the high school. It's a gathering to celebrate the diversity and to promote a community in unity. Malden is a very diverse community. But one quote that is being shared is, "All roads of unity lead to Malden. Paths of peace and unity leads to Malden." He's from Malden. So just encouraging you, inviting you. I will be sending an email out with the logo and things once we get that finalized, probably tomorrow. Inviting you and encouraging you to attend that, representing not only the Malden community, representing our church, being a faith-based community in Malden, and showing our solidarity with other folks of faith and those in the community that may not be of faith but also want to be showing their solidarity in a diverse community. So that is this coming Wednesday at 6:30 at the Malden High School courtyard. And the following Wednesday, the 27th, the Adoniram Judson's women will be having a summer celebration and annual meeting here at our church on the 27th, Wednesday at 6 in the evening. Women are invited to bring a salad to share. And the program will be Marilyn Rotz, who is who has recently been endorsed as one of the American Baptist International Missionaries to Africa. And she will speak on her past experiences in Africa and will tell us about her future assignment in promoting peace and justice through education and training. So that's the following Wednesday, a week from this coming Wednesday, the 27th, for Judson Women, and that's all women are invited to come. Men invited to come too, Marilyn? So we don't want to isolate and segregate. So if a gentleman would like to come and learn about some of our mission work, by all means, you're invited to come too. So that's the 27th at 6 here at the church, starting with a potluck salad supper. So at this time, I invite you to... Oh, yes. I'm sorry. That didn't get on the calendar either. Boy, we really weren't good this week. I didn't check my phone before I gave the list. Tomorrow evening, yes, the property trustees will be meeting at 6:30 for our monthly meeting. All the other boards have been taking the summer off, but the property trustees have been meeting and been doing a lot of work this summer. So, yes, property trustees will be meeting tomorrow evening in the kitchen at 6:30. So at this time, please turn in the hymnal to selection number 325 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading both verses from Old and New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters.
And you who have no money, come buy and eat.
Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost.
Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what is not satisfied?
Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair.
Oh, Lord, you are my God, and mercy I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my body longs for you, and a dry and weary land where there is no water. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you, my soul will be satisfied.
Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found.
Call on him while he is near.
Let the wicked forsake his way.
And the evil man his thoughts.
Let him turn to the Lord.
And he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon.
The Spirit and the bride say, come.
And let him who hears say, come.
Whoever is thirsty, let him come.
And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life.
Our opening hymn is Fill My Cup, Lord, number 458. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. Gracious God, you are the fount of every blessing. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so our souls long for you. As a tree planted by the water continues to bear fruit despite the heat and lack of rain, so we seek to be sustained through the droughts of our lives. May we draw near and drink deeply from your living water this day. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the living water, We now pray as he taught, praying aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Those in Turkey, as you know, there's some rest going on in Turkey as well. and other areas in our world where there just seems to be every day, there seems to be something going on that fills the airwaves with news. Usually it's not good news. It's usually disturbing news. So we want to keep our world in prayer today. Does anyone have a request for prayer today? Eleanor?
God, we thank you for being able to come to this place to worship you in these moments and to spend these few minutes in prayer with you, in conversation, opening our hearts to you, perhaps sharing something with you that we don't feel comfortable sharing with anyone else in the world, sharing it with you. Where for some of us we come with feeling like we're on a mountaintop, so much joy to share. And others of us may have come very disturbed and confused or perplexed this morning, seeking answers to our questions, looking for what life means. Lord, we just pray for these moments together that we may hear your voice speaking to us, and however we need to receive that message, that it may help us in our living. It may help us to strengthen our discipleship of Jesus Christ. It may encourage us to, when we leave this place, to be a more faithful follower, to be more strong in our faith and not afraid of claiming that Christ is our Lord and Savior. Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill,
pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are awaiting surgeries, and we pray especially for Jim right now as he's awaiting surgery. We pray for Delphine as she's recuperating. Lord, we just pray for others who are injured or ill today, and just pray for your healing touch in their lives according to your will. Lord, we also pray for those who are in mourning today, who have lost a loved one recently, and just lift them up to you, Lord, that they may feel your comfort and your peace as they miss their loved one, as they feel the emptiness of that person's absence. Just pray that your spirit may fill that hole that's in their lives. Lord, we pray for our world today. We pray especially for the people of France, where another terrorist attack has just taken place, where dozens of lives were taken, others injured, many critical. We realize there may be more deaths to come as a result of that. Lord, we just shake our heads and say, you know, what is our world coming to? We don't have answers. So Lord, we turn to you and we lift up our concerns to you. We just pray for peace in our world. And Lord, we pray for those nations where there is unrest, where there is violence taking place. And just, Lord, we just pray that, you know, that there may be peace around our world. Lord, we just pray if there's something that we can do, maybe not on the global scene, but perhaps locally or regionally, that you would instruct us and empower us and enable us to be peacemakers and peacekeepers. It might just be within our own family. Lord, we just pray that we may be modeling and living the love of Christ where it be his equal. Lord, we also pray for our Walden community today. We pray as the community comes together and celebrating our diversity but also our unity this Wednesday. We pray for the planners of this, the organizers, just whether it's city officials, whether it's faith group, faith-based, you know, leaders, that as we come together and make these plans, that the community makes sense, that yes, we are different. We are diverse, but yet let's not focus on that, but find our common ground, things that unify us as being part of Malden. Lord, we thank you for the community in which we live. We pray, Lord, for those that are planning this. We pray for those that will be attending it as well, that it may be a time of peace and a time of celebrations. Lord, we pray for those who are at camp this week, and pray for Naomi as she prepares to go to camp next week. And just pray that, yes, there's good weather. We pray for the staff that's having the campers there, that it may be a good week for them as well. For those that are attending church camp, it may be a time of drawing closer to Jesus. That for some, it may be meeting him for the first time. For others, they're deepening their faith. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that we have of being able to send campers, being able to attend camp ourselves if we want to experience new and different settings. Lord, now we lift all of these things up to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We worship in many different ways. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts to God, saying thank you for all your blessings. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Thank you.
Christ with others. We pray especially that they may reach out to those who have not heard of Jesus, may come to know him and love him. We ask this in his name. Amen. I want you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning.
I'm going to sign one.
You may be seated. Dottie Latta will be reading scripture today.
Today's scripture is Jeremiah 2, verses 4 through 13. Listen to the Lord's message, you descendants of Jacob, you tribes of Israel. The Lord says, what accusation did your ancestors bring against me? What made them turn away from me? They worshiped worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not care about me, even though I rescued them from Egypt and led them through the wilderness, a land of deserts and sand pits, a dry and dangerous land where no one lives and no one will even travel. I brought them into fertile land to enjoy its harvests and its other good things. But instead, they ruined my land. They defiled the country had given to them. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? My own priests did not know me. The rulers rebelled against me. The prophets spoke in the name of Baal and worshipped useless idols. And so I, the Lord, will state my case against my people again. I will bring charges against their descendants. Go west to the island of Cyprus and send someone eastward to the land of Kedar. You will see that nothing like this has ever happened before. No other nation has ever changed its gods, even though they were not real. But my people have exchanged me, the God who has brought them honor, for gods can do nothing for them. So I command the sky to shake with horror, to be amazed and astonished, for my people have committed two sins. They have turned away from me the spring of fresh water, and they have dug cisterns, cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. This is the Lord's word.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from the prophet Jeremiah, these words of condemnation for God's people, Lord, we pray that we may not be numbered in those with those types of acts of turning against you, of worshiping other gods, of breaking open, stored areas, just basically turning our backs on you. Lord, we pray that this time together, these moments now, that we may receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living, that may open our eyes to new ways that you are calling us and challenging us, encouraging us to live in our communities, or ways that we need to renew our spiritual lives. Whatever the case, Lord, we just pray that in these moments we may receive a word from you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What image comes to mind first when you hear the word water bottle? A previous generation might think of a round glass jar or jug with a secure lid to safely contain and transport drinking water. Or perhaps a flat, pliable rubber container with a secure stopper that can be filled with hot water and then taken to bed to warm up the sheets and the body. Both of these were quite common in earlier generations when indoor plumbing was not common and therefore drinking water had to be safely secured and transported from a well and spring. And there was not central heating to warm up the bedrooms. I remember as a young child going to my grandparents' house to visit and fighting over who got the water bottle to go to bed with. I was youngest at that time, so it was like I think I got it first, and I think my sisters got it afterwards, and they probably went to bed after I did. But I remember that water bottle so much because it often was a red hot water bottle, and just take it to bed with you, and it was just snuggle up with that and just took off the chill off the cold sheets. But people in today's generation, upon hearing the words water bottle, probably envision a metal or a plastic bottle, something like this, containing, or it could be larger, could be smaller, containing water. Medical studies have recommended that we drink 8 glasses of water every day to stay hydrated. Now, that sometimes varies. I've heard more, I've heard less, but that's the average. And this is very important, that bottle is a very portable container. It's become a fixture for many individuals. They wouldn't think of leaving the house without their keys, their wallet, their cell phone, and their water bottle. We see those bottles everywhere. In a recent year, Americans consumed almost 10 billion bottles of water. The average American drank 30.8 gallons. That sounds low to me, but that's what the statistics said, which translates into almost 170 disposable water bottles, of which only 38 are recycled. Not a very good proportion. So where are the rest of those bottles going? In the landfills. That has led to a trend among some to use reusable water containers, sturdier bottles or even thermoses to provide hydration whenever wanted or needed. Clearly, staying hydrated is an important issue. But it's not just for humans. The rings of a tree tell the worrisome tale. Cross sections of the ancient redwoods reveal that California's present drought is the worst in 1,200 years. Shockingly low levels of rain and snow, particularly the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains, are part of the explanation for California. Another factor is the record high temperatures that most climate scientists attribute to global warming, and to that, add to that the long record of poor conservation practices. We like our green lawns, and we like to have different crops that require a lot of irrigation. But the American West is not the only place with thirsty land. An article in Friday's Boston Globe reported that two-thirds of Massachusetts is experiencing severe to moderate drought at this time. And our area is in the moderate. We're just outside the severe part. But vegetation is not the only thing that's thirsty. Humans are also. We are born thirsty. We all need water to live, every day more or less. Past generations were content to drink just enough to quench their thirst. But today, our health professionals are encouraging us to drink whether we feel thirsty or not. Stay hydrated is the current catchphrase for saying, meaning the same thing of drink plenty of water. It's a fact of life. We all need water. Staying hydrated became much easier when water from pumps and buckets was transformed into running tap water inside homes. But we all make it harder for ourselves than we need to. Most municipal water systems, with a few exceptions, namely Flint, Michigan, could name a few others, mostly in the Rust Belt area, are noted for their high quality water. Most communities have high quality water. In fact, some massive urban areas like New York City often win taste tests for their tap water. And why is there such a frenzied rush to gulp down exotic bottled waters? Some brands of bottled water are transported hundreds and even thousands of miles, offering no discernible improvement in quality in exchange for a deplorable carbon footprint. Sometimes bottled spring water is actually less healthy than tap water. Bottles filled directly from the spring can contain harmful microorganisms and chemicals that are routinely eliminated by municipal treatment systems. Then, of course, there are the inexpensive bottled waters that don't come directly from the ground at all. They contain humble tap water from the community where the factory is located. Or they're distilled water that starts out as tap water, is turned to steam, then is transformed back into liquid form. Using such elixirs to stay hydrated is costly, not only in financial terms, but also from the environmental standpoint. The Bible frequently uses water as a potent spiritual metaphor, and we've seen some of those and heard some of those this morning through our various scripture readings. One of the most vivid is today's passage from Jeremiah. These verses depict a courtroom setting in which God plays the role of an angry prosecutor and says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Cisterns, we might not be familiar with that if we live in an urban setting, but they were a common part of daily life in the Middle East. That was a desert climate. There was no such thing as indoor plumbing. A cistern is an underground storage tank that collects runoff from the roof in a rainy season. And the cisterns offered their accumulated supply through many thirsty days to come. Now, cistern water is not especially appetizing, but it's better than no water at all. It is strictly for emergency situations. Its only purpose is to preserve life in a time of terrible extremity. A cistern has just one job, to hold water. That's all it's got to do is hold water. The water imagery would have been vivid for Jeremiah's readers and listeners for three reasons. First, they lived in a marginally fertile land where crops were always at risk to weather conditions. If the rains failed, if the wadis never filled with spring floods, then lives were at risk. Secondly, the people of Israel had a vivid collective memory of their ancestors' wilderness wanderings under Moses. God had once provided them with water from a rock, but based on their more recent experience of unfaithfulness, God was not likely to do that again. And third, Jeremiah is writing at the time of the Babylonian invasion. Perhaps Jerusalem is already under siege. Perhaps when the defenders opened their cisterns, they learned some of them were cracked. That precious water that they were planning to be able to use in an emergency had already leached into the ground, never to be seen again. There's a problem with the people of Israel, as Jeremiah sees them. They've not only failed to properly protect their capital city, they've also failed to maintain the all-important cisterns of their spiritual lives. They've allowed them to fall into disrepair. The people of Israel, the prophet thunders in judgment, are no better than cracked cisterns that can hold no water. God's words of comfort and assurance do flow into the people, but these precious blessings flow right back out again to be wasted on the hot desert sands. So what's the lesson for us from these verses in Jeremiah? We need to keep our spiritual cisterns in good repair. Faithful disciples must maintain a reserve of spiritual confidence to get through times of suffering and trial. But we may be asking, well, how do we do that? The best way to keep our spiritual cisterns in good repair is by attending worship on a regular basis, reading the Bible consistently, and praying frequently. By doing this, we fill our spiritual cisterns to the very brim. If we do this often enough, we'll learn that the chronic anxiety that's a feature of these troubled times has little effect on us. For we will then know from long and oft-repeated experience that it's not the investment performance of Wall Street, nor which political party ends up in the White House, that makes the greatest difference in our lives. It's the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But this goes counterbalance. It conflicts with the conventional wisdom of our society. More and more we Americans have become a people who value the quick fix, the instant solution. We don't want to think of that we might need a cistern for water sometime. We'll always have that bottle of water on our shelf or in our refrigerator. But we'd rather pop a vitamin supplement than learn how to eat healthily. We'd rather blow a paycheck on some expensive exercise machine, one that will inevitably end up gathering dust in the basement, than embark on a sensible diet and exercise regimen. We'd rather try to solve our relationship problems by taking a magazine self-help quiz than by doing the hard work of seeking counseling and spending a significant amount of time working on our relationship. The same is often true of our spiritual lives. We coast along on our own devices, drawing water at will from those leaky cisterns until we suddenly realize there's nothing left. Then we turn to God in desperate prayer, craving an emergency refill. We may or we may not receive that refill. Last minute may be our preferred mode of operating, but it's not God's. It's not that God is not generous. Well, that's a lot of negatives. It's not that God is not generous. God is generous. It's not because, you know, he doesn't want to help us. God does what's best for us. It's that God's field of operation is decidedly long term, not just in the moment. Running beneath the surface in today's scripture is the theme of covenant, a reality measured not in days, but in centuries. The charge the divine prosecutor is pressing is that of breaking God's ancient covenant. Jeremiah's task as prophet is to call the people back to the sort of long-term relationship, long-term covenant, which whose dividends are realized in terms not of individual lives, but of multiple generations. They weren't called back just for themselves, but they were called back for the future of their people. That's not easy for us to think about today. So many of us are spiritual individualists. We imagine that we are the authors of our own spiritual destiny. We have a huge appetite for novelty and are apt to forsake ordinary cistern water or some trendy bottled import. Yet cisterns aren't filled to meet the needs of today, nor even tomorrow. The bottled water won't quench our thirst very long once the supply chain is broken. In such dire straits, the cistern water, stored away for just such an eventuality, starts to look pretty good. Yeah, there might be a little odor to it. Might not be, you know, the most tasty thing, but it would provide needed nourishment, needed hydration. Stephen Covey's best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, contains a memorable illustration called Sharpening the Saw. The author tells of two lumberjacks who are laboring hard to cut down a mighty tree using an old-fashioned cross-cut saw. Back and forth, they pull the saw. Their motions synchronize in perfect rhythm. They've got a really rhythm going. Yet the longer they work, the less effective their labors appear to be. Each stroke of that saw seems to be taking less of a bite out of the tree trunk. But still the men keep on sawing back and forth, back and forth. What they really need to do is to stop and sharpen the saw. Yet there's something soothing, even hypnotic, about the rhythm of sawing, if you've ever done that, if you get into a good rhythm. The more exhausted the men became, the easier it was to imagine that if they just kept going, they'll finish the job. Who's got time to stop and sharpen the saw, they ask. Yet the irony is that if they would stop and perform the essential maintenance, they'd be done in half the time, and without the agony of aching muscles that comes from pulling a dull saw blade back and forth. Worship is like sharpening the saw. Day after day, week in and week out, we saw away at our own individual vocations. But without a regular interlude for worship, for being still and knowing that the Lord is God, for devoting time to prayer and contemplation, for hearing the word read and proclaimed and studying it for ourselves, the bite of our labors becomes dull. And we become exhausted, we become stressed out, we become detached from the wellspring of all meaning. It's not enough simply to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior once and leave it at that. The saw needs to be kept sharp. The cistern needs to be kept in good repair. If we immerse ourselves in reading the Bible, in spending time in prayer and worship, not just occasionally, I know I'm preaching to the choir, I'm going to hear it afterwards, but you need to go tell others that weren't here. We spend that time in prayer and worship, not just occasionally, but consistently, over time, we'll find that they become part of our nature. Where do you go Sunday mornings? I go to church. That's part of my routine. I get something out of it, hopefully, people will say. If we do that, then our cisterns will be full, and we will have the strength we need, even in anxious times. And we certainly do live in anxious times, and we do need our cisterns to be full for the difficult days that we are living in. Let's pray together. Oh God, you are our God. We seek you, for we thirst for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. The struggles of the week just past have left our spirits parched. By your Spirit, lead us to drink deeply from the river of your delights and restore and be restored. We ask this in Jesus' name, who is the living water. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Glorious Things That Thee Are Spoken, number 670. Continue to hold us in the hollow of his hand. May the living water that Christ provides quench our spiritual thirst, provide us refreshment for our times of difficulty. As we speak of God's love to other thirsty souls, may God's Holy Spirit work within them that they may discover the peace that passes all understanding. Amen.